Welcome to the Divorce Devil Podcast, a show tailor-made for those stepping out of the divorce recovery space. Follow your hosts, David and Rachel, as they dive into the all-too-familiar shitstorm of the more-than-interesting end-of-the-road divorce topics, stories, and discussions. While realizing it can be a trying stage, they have been where you are and understand the struggle. And yes, the struggle is real. They know that recovery can be such a clusterfuck. Check out the podcast if you feel like you're juggling chainsaws, then strap in and hold on for some honesty, authenticity, and hard-in-your-face irrefutable truths. This innovative podcast is not for the faint-hearted, so if you can't handle the certain truths, just keep it moving. If you can, welcome to the show.
Welcome, everybody out there, to Divorce Devil episode 173. Today we're talking about the X Factor. The X Factor is...
I don't know.
What was the X factor that happened in your divorce recovery that propelled you and or shifted you to start healing and feel better about yourself, about the world around you? Rachel's going to be all over this one, man, because she texted me back quick this morning.
And I involved other people. And
yep.
So it's not just the David and Rachel.
Let's go with Rachel first. Say, hey, Rachel, what do you think?
So when I asked a couple people, and one shall be the man that we do not name.
Lance.
You heard him, babe, not me.
Wait. I want to dedicate this show to a friend of mine who I just found out was getting divorced maybe 2 weeks ago, and he started listening to the podcast.
I have one too.
I started him at 50, and 50 kind of drug a little bit, but he loves it. He's
47 is where I was saying, then go to 74 because it's like, dang, you can't forget 47, 74.
So when I talk to him next time, I say, hey, listen to this, and it'll send you to 47 and 74.
47 is the best podcast because I'm so real in it.
Is that the one with giving a fucks?
Yep.
And what's 74?
I don't know.
Okay. Sounds
comedy,
good.
Funny, healing.
But he's just starting out, and I want to send out a shout out to him. I'm so proud of him for listening to the podcast, number
Yay!
One, and going through his struthers and trying to find himself and figure it out. But I think the podcast was helping. The time I told him to listen to the podcast, he wasn't smiling very much. But every time I've seen him since, he's been smiling. So,
well, when I went back home for my best friend's daughter's baby shower, my best friend's sister-in-law is going through. She went through a divorce a while ago and has been with this latest person for 18 years, but they're not married. But she's feeling all the emotions that you go through when you have a divorce. It's just that paper's not signed.
It's long term.
Technically it's a common law marriage in Pennsylvania. So she started listening to it and she loved it. We listened to the one episode that was recent when we were there and she's like, you guys are funny. And I guess a lot of it too comes to the finding your funny.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of shit that's not funny. And then you have to deal with it. And then you cry and do your thing. And then you're like, I'm going to laugh about this someday. May not be today.
Find your damn funny.
So, well, back to the podcast episode that we're talking about. A lot of the commonality was the thing that got them to the healing part is they felt less than, but they knew they needed to be better for their children. So kids was that.
That was mine. Yep.
Finding, you know, I can't be this lump of a human in a bag of bones, not living my best life, even though I'm going through this horrible time.
What happens if you don't have kids?
Did I talk to someone who doesn't have kids?
Because we can't leave them out too.
I think one of them was I found my hobbies again. Because they didn't have kids. They had we have two dogs. We have to split the dogs and then the dogs would have weekends and stuff. So,
wow. Co-parenting dogs.
Yeah. Fur parenting. And so finding your new normal was one of those things like, you know what? I just can't stick in this ick or ick or ugh any longer. So either I change or the world around me is going to keep changing and it's going to take me longer to catch up.
Damn.
So, you have one other than kids?
Well, mainly kids. And I think I texted you and I said, I couldn't let her win. Mm-hmm. I could not let her win. It wasn't a control thing. It was more of being defeated. Mm-hmm. Because I went through my two divorces, because she pulled the trigger and then pulled the trigger again, the same person. It was more of surviving. I'm going to survive. I'm going to get through this. She will not destroy me.
Do you think the first time you didn't get any of the healing, or were you starting to heal and then you're like, oh, I need to go back because it's safe? Or?
Well, the fact that she rescinded it, I think the healing stopped because I thought we were okay. But when she pulled the trigger again, I was like, okay, let's go. Come on, let's do this.
Well, and I think, too, if people going through that, you know, you are going to start talking about the things that aren't right. And then once you go back, it's like, oh, we've forgiven all the things that were wrong already.
Yep.
But not really seeing, you know, they're not going to change unless both people change. So I think, you know, your second time you were kind of like, no, I'm done. That's enough of that. We're not going to play games.
Oh, yeah.
So good for you.
I was so done. But yeah, mine was more of a survivability thing and just getting through it. And I would look down the road a little bit, not this far, you know, like 10, 12 years, but just far enough to realize that I was going to make it. And, you know, one foot in front of the other, you know, one day at a time, 1 week at a time, things like that.
And sometimes that's hard. You're like, oh, shit, this week sucked. This fucking month sucked. Or, and then you get that ray of hope and you're like, oh, everything's going to be okay. And then it's another something. So you always have to find that what's pulling you out of the ditch, the proverbial ditch.
And once you realize that you're going to have those backward motions, you know, you're a whole lot better for it, I think.
And as you get further along, those steps backwards become leaps forward.
Yep.
Because you're like, oh, I've already seen this before. I know what this looks like. Oh, well, they're
not so bad.
I don't have to take that path. I've already been down that one. It didn't turn out great. But this path over here was okay. I mean, but I was in a different space. So let me try that one again. Another commonality was anger. They couldn't let the anger win anymore. So they took the anger out of it and focused on work, a job you loved, kids, and I think my big thing when you asked the question and my quick response
serial
was
dating.
Serial dating, that's a good one. Yeah. Well, is it though?
Doesn't really heal anything, but it takes your mind off of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
it
man.
Gets you out of the anger because you're like, oh, look at me. I'm cool.
Yeah.
People like
me. I'm pretty. I'm pretty.
They like my baggage.
Yeah.
But mine was, once I was out of the house, I think one of the things I had a hard time was is my family still was in the house. Like my son was had his room. My daughter had her room. My oldest son had their place there. That was their home.
So you were like an outlier.
Yeah. So I was looking in on them still living their best lives, doing all the things that I want to be doing, but I don't have the financial stability to do that. And, you know, I felt like the only way I'm going to, I almost felt like they didn't need me anymore. I know that's not true now, but it almost
but
felt like.
But you hit rock bottom, though.
I got from every one of them, you left.
Yep.
You left. You didn't try. I'm like, no, I tried. I did the whole basement thing. I did the whole, you know, getting myself my own footing. We were living separate lives. You come and go as you want. I come and go as I want, depending on whose weekend it is. We were sharing the house. And they, you know, my daughter who was at college and my son who was on his own and, you know, my little guy, they were like, but you left. So you abandoned us. I'm like, I couldn't do it anymore. And then I had the guilt of I abandoned them. So whatever they're doing, I can't be upset. But what happened there, you know, I was staying in the basement of a beautiful home with my best friend's parents who were older and worked and retired and whatever. One worked and one was retired. So one of them had more time than the other and they always were welcoming and helpful and all other stuff. And, you know, call me up to watch a movie together, you know, stuff like that. But what I learned from leaving and focusing on me first is that I'm only going to give them the best version of myself when I'm with them. So why not give myself the best version of me always?
Keep,
you know, like when my
consistent.
Son was there, there was no TV. We were outside. We were doing what we could. We were going on an adventure. I was trying to be like, you know, I got $12, but we can go to the park and we can get, you know, a hot dog, you know. So I was trying to be the fun mom.
Yep.
But in that, I was like, you know what? I have to take care of me. And like I said, I was drinking too much. And in my own head, like, I'm not going to go down the same path as my parents, where the alcoholism took over their parenting. And caused me to be an adult really quick. I wasn't going to put that burden on my children, like, oh, I have to take care of mom because she's alcoholic or she's too fragile or she can't handle the divorce. I was able to work on me and set boundaries and figure out where I lost my marriage. Mm-hmm. So I think that being in my own space half the time, you know, because he had him 3.5 days, I had him 3.5 days. And I think it really helped me not heal quicker, because the podcast is what made me heal, because I was having to talk about things I didn't know that mm-hmm. needed to be talked about. But I was able to focus on me and get back to my hobbies and realize what I did or didn't want. And then some dating in there, going, what, who I want to be? Do I want to be by myself? Am I okay being single? And, you know, a lot of times we need to find someone else that likes us so we feel whole. Well, I think you have to figure out who you are as a whole.
So what about people who are just starting out? They're trying to find their X factor. How do you help them to get down that rabbit hole?
You have to take the X person out of it. You have now have a new life, right? So your ex is going to be intertwined here and there, but you have to not focus on that, because that can make you bitter, that can make you angry, that can make you spiteful, that can make you send the text that the court gets to see, you know, especially with parenting. You have to learn that no matter how much you are connected to your ex, you need to heal from them and take them out of the equation for, and even if it's just for a day or two, like, be like, nope, we're not going to focus on that today. I'm not going to go tell a complete stranger about my entire life thing, because they need to hear me vent, or I need to
sharing your story.
Yeah. And so I think you really need to focus on you and not the ex, and, you know, get yourself to a place where you can only help your family or be a positive influence in your family. And a lot of days you're just so fucking sad that you have to go through, and you're like, oh, I never was going to do this because my parents got divorced. And I felt all those emotions because my parents went through divorce when I was 19, the same age as my daughter was when I got divorced. And so I know what she felt, but I didn't know what she was going through because she didn't see the fighting. She didn't mm-hmm. see all the things that led up to it.
All of a sudden, boom, it was
divorced. And now
divorce,
that they're
what?
Older, they see like how my ex-mother-in-law treated us, because she does the same to everybody. She's alienated herself from so many people, and she's like, I don't know what happened. We're like, no, you happened. So a lot of times those people that are causing you dismay, they're not even aware that they're doing it.
So what do you tell people out there that are trying to control their narrative and then trying to control their recovery? Because sometimes they parallel, and then sometimes they fight. Mm-hmm. The narrative can cause your recovery to stymie mm-hmm. and or reverse, because you're so intent with your story and the negativity and trying to get people to side with you mm-hmm. that you don't go forward.
And I can honestly say I never wanted anybody to pick a side without their opinion in it. Like, I was never going to give them a reason to hate my ex or a reason to whatever. But people saw it once we weren't together, how he was reacting to me. And I was like, that's normal. Yeah. But we hid it so well, because you want everybody to think you're in a great marriage. You want everybody to be like, oh, I need to be like them, or they're a power couple, or they're this or whatever. And I think we did a good job at that until the gloves were off. And once the gloves came off, it was, oh, I didn't know he was like that, or I didn't mm-hmm. know she was like that, or, you know.
The true colors come out.
And a lot of times the story that either one of us told the people that were closest to us probably weren't the actual truth. They were our versions of the truth, right? And so if my bestie and I are going to be like, you know, oh, well, yeah, remember you had that fight, and like bringing back all the things, you're going to pick a side. Someone's going to pick a side, and you're going to feel validated. But I was also like, look, he's a great human, just not for me.
He's a great person, not my person.
Yeah. And so he'd meet you one time. He'd give you the shirt off his back. He'd offer to help you. He'd like, again, he would do anything for people that are one degree of me. It's just him and I didn't work cohesively because he chose other people instead of me. Right. So again, he's a great dad. I'm not going to, you know, a great dad. He does so much for our kids. Communication-wise, he does is very anxious, very, like, wanting to control the situations, but not seeing what the actual priorities of your life are. You are replaceable at work. You are not replaceable at home. And when you put those things first in your marriage, something's not going to get your your attention. And the things that need your attention most are your family. Wow. And that's why divorces happen, right? Because someone's not feeling loved or adequate, or they find someone else. So I just had this conversation with my oldest son about worrying. You can worry about something that hasn't happened or your ideas of something that's happened, but it usually doesn't work out the way you've worried about it. So why worry? Yes, you're going to deal through all the emotions that are going through whatever you're worried about, but let it happen. And then you're already ready to deal with it because you've worked it out in your head and you're not really worried about it. You're setting a plan that if this happens, here's where I go. If this happens, here I go. But in between there, you have support. You have your family. You have, you know, friends. You have, you know, people in your life that want you to win. It's the people who don't want you to win are the ones you need to, you know, get rid of. And you're going to learn something from all the people that come into your life. I just hope it's sooner than later.
So what happens if that the X factor is a negative, but it still propels you to heal?
I think that desire to not be towards in that negative space is healing.
Yeah.
Because you have to recognize that you're divorcing them, right?
But don't vacation in it.
Yeah, and don't. I think too, like we always say, insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again. If you keep having the same argument with someone who's no longer in your life, it might be you. You might be the problem. But if that person is narcissistic or controlling or trying to set the tone of things, invading your space, overtaking, you know, your vacations, like, you know, that is when you have to set the boundaries hard enough and be like, nope, this is what we're doing, because you can't respect my boundaries. You can't respect my space. You keep coming at me. So now I'm having to be reactive and not healing. So I think a lot of times when you have an ex that doesn't see that they've done anything wrong and it's all your fault and, you know, you were the problem, you made me do this, you made me live a life I wasn't wanting to live, and you kind of made all the decisions, and now they're like, well, I'm going to make all the decisions. Well, no, a lot of times that person that's saying that is the problem. But it's if control. You keep fighting that same negative person all the time and just not being like, okay, you know, the long text of I fucking hate you, you suck, this, da, 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 you're not the boss of me kind of thing. And then you're just like, okay. The response you're going to get from them is probably aggressive back. And then you can see that you aren't actually the problem. You're adding fuel to the problem.
If you argue with them.
So sometimes you just need to be like, yeah, and make it no emotion. And that's hard. It's really easy for me to sit here at 4.5 years in, or, you know, 12 or 90, whatever you are, because it's always, we never
Did you say 90?
I never even know how long it's been.
It's 13, 14, 15.
13. What else? It's in between there.
13.
It's really easy for me to say this, and I kind of think we want to get back to, like, the emotion that we felt in the beginning. So if you are new in that, come be a guest, because in 6 months, when you come be a guest again, your verbiage is going to change. Your attitude is totally going to change. Like, how many times have I cried in this thing?
Or even this journal, hell.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, you don't know that you haven't dealt with something or healed from something until Dave and Rachel go, so how do you feel about the X factor? And you're like, oh, I haven't thought about my ex today. Well, good for you.
But, that's a step.
You know, I am very thankful that my ex and I get along. Do I agree with everything he says? No, but he's also my ex. Do I try to see both sides of I know him. I've known him for almost 30 years now. I know how he reacts. And so if I want a reaction,
you know what
from
to do.
My past of knowing his things, I just like, oh, yeah, that's just how he is. Before it was like, why the fuck are you like this? Why do I always have to clean up your shit? Why do I always have to appease to your family? Why am I always, you know, being last from your work and all that stuff? And I let that go because it doesn't really matter now, right? As long as we are taking care of our son, who's 13, and getting him to do his things, we can, like, we just went to dinner for his 13th birthday, and it was my ex's girlfriend, Lance's daughter and her husband, Jake, his girlfriend had to work, me and Lance. And it went great. But because it was focused on Logan.
Yep.
So you can get to that space. And sometimes you can't. I'm not trying to play.
Not everybody can get to that space.
It's like you can't eat at everybody's house, you know, because some people, you can't always go to your ex's house. You can't.
Not everybody likes broccoli.
Not everybody likes pea soup. But like, I think if you can make it work, great. If not, it's okay too. Like, just because my situation is different, there were times definitely was like, I want to stab you in your eye. There was times where I was just like, why am I always cleaning up the mess? Why do I always have to conform? Yeah. Why am I the one going, it's okay, we don't want you to be upset because da-da-da-da. No, no. I need you to be upset so you know that I'm not playing. So I think there was a lot of times where in my marriage, I bit my tongue and didn't say what I was actually feeling. So I had to get to that where, like, I'm going to say it now because the reaction I got when I was married wasn't favorable. Now I'm going to say it. And I was like, whatever your response is doesn't affect me. Because I don't have to clean up your mess and I don't have to do that. But I
think we are apart.
Yeah, when it comes to the X factor, when you're dealing with your ex, it really is a mutual respect, a commonality. And if you can't have them, you know where you stand. So you also need to heal in that space. I can't get along with my ex. I can't communicate with them. We need a mediator. We need this. So you have to know what your ebb and flow is. And, you know, a lot of times if you heal from your anger, like especially if you were the one that got the trigger pulled, I think that tends to be more anger that you have to deal with because someone didn't love you or they fell out of love with you. But you have to focus on the things that are going to get you through from day to day. And, you know, we say all the time, too, find your funny because a lot of this shit is funny. Especially responses. Yeah. I can be like, I remember like reading a text and be like, all right, someone else read this because I'm just going to laugh back.
I think this is funny.
Hell yeah. I'm pretty sure this is an adult I'm talking to, but they're texting me like they're five and all the emojis and all the things. And I was like, okay, cool. When in fact they were trying to not piss me off, but it pissed me off more because I couldn't figure out if it was supposed to be funny or not.
Yeah, that's a word twister.
There's a lot of times where I'm just like, you know, you just call your friends or someone that picked your side and be like, I can't today. Like I really, and especially if they know him well or know your ex well, you're like,
know the story.
Yeah, because we all know we're dogging on our ex when we're with our besties, right?
No, never happens.
Oh yeah, I am.
Never, ever. Never have I ever.
Yeah, and so. I don't know. I think when you think of that X factor, you need to find your reason to leave your ex behind. Like, what is separating you from your past that you don't need in your future? And there's sometimes it's, you know, like right now I'm dealing with some financial stuff that's coming back because the IRS is going after everybody or something. And I know for a fact I've paid what I'm supposed to. It's been 8 years from this thing that we're dealing with, and
it's always something.
I'm just like, what the hell?
It's always something.
I'm like, okay, am I mad? No. Am I like annoyed? And you know, it takes you 75 years to get into the IRS. A response is like 80 million years, and it's like, well, you're late. I'm like, oh, I've called you every single fucking day, so I don't know what to tell you in 2 months. So I'm sorry you didn't get back to me on time. Yeah. You work for me because I'm giving you my money.
Good luck with that.
So yeah.
So, yes. Parting words for the X factor. What is the X factor?
Z. You're getting a Z. You need to get past your X, get to the Y, which is you.
Oh, look at you.
And Z later. I don't know. Sleep on it.
You can't.
Lots of naps. Z's. Get your Z's.
So, X factor to the Y, you, and then the Z, the sleep factor.
So, you can get some sleep.
Sleep. Okay. All right.
I just made that up. So, if you don't like it,
I know.
We'll have something else you don't like. But that's okay, because we're funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the X factor is very important, trying to make that transition from not knowing what the fuck to do at all to figure out that you started getting your ducks in a row. and your
and
ducks.
There's always that crazy yeah. duck who thinks he's a squirrel.
Oh yeah. There's always a crazy duck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you think you have ducks in a row, but they're not always in a row.
Oh, and there's geese in there.
And you'll have to reshuffle
there's
them.
Penguins.
You know, it's just like poker. You know, you shuffle the deck and you get something, but you never know what's going to get pulled because there's so many variables that you can't control. You only can control the variables you can.
Yeah.
And not worry about the risk, which is hard to do, but you can do it over time.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, once again, Rachel's podcast was great.
Yeah.
David,
Rachel's
thank you for your
podcast
crunch.
Was great. Yes.
See, that's finding yeah. your funny.
Yeah. That's funny as shit. Yes. And shout out again to my buddy who just started his divorce proceedings.
And my friend,
your friend too.
Yeah.
She's listening. So shout out to both of them and shout out to everybody else.
Find your funny, spread the word. Let's get this divorce podcast on the 100 top list.
Yep.
We already are.
Top 100 divorce podcast.
How about top 50? Because we already got right at 50.
Okay. You sure?
So, yeah.
All right. Positive?
I'm positive.
All right.
We're like 64, dude.
All right. Love you.
I mean, and then, you know, Kimberly's calling me. Hey, Kimmy.
Hey, Kim. All right, everybody. Have a nice night.
Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.